Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. I'm Kevin Clark, senior editor and chief correspondent for America Magazine. Today I'm very grateful to have on the phone from Manila, Father I.J. Chan Gonzaga, who is a Jesuit working and studying in Manila, and he's also just returned from Tacloban, his hometown. And Father I.J., if you could just tell us what you got back yesterday from Tacloban?
Yes, Kevin, that's right.
Why don't you tell us why you went to Tacloban in the first place and what kind of odyssey it was just to get to the city?
Sure, Kevin. I grew up in the city, took up my basic education there from kindergarten to high school, and my grandmother, my father's mom, still lives there. And so when the typhoon struck in last Friday and we lost communication, we really didn't know what happened, and all we saw were snippets of the news that were able to be brought out by some of the media men who were able to reach the city, and it was not good.
When did you left Sunday to try and find out what happened to your grandmother, correct?
Yeah, trying to find my grandmother, wanted to take some, at least get to Tacloban. So I tried my luck with the minute they told us the only plane that was able to go there, at least the only transportation then, was the military cargo planes.
What was your initial impression? What did you see when you got off the plane?
Before we moved to Manila to study after high school, we used to have a house just right before the airport. So I have those fond memories when I was still young that my dad would drive me to the airport. It's just 5 minutes away then. And we'd see planes just land and take off. And it was a childhood memory, a happy childhood memory of mine. And to land there and see that it was completely washed out. I mean, no more structure.
You're talking about the airport itself was completely washed out.
The airport itself was completely washed out. You see immediately when you land the very devastation of the typhoon.
Were there a lot of survivors at the airport? I've read that the people are sort of desperately seeking flights out there with military cargo planes.
Yes, Kevin. When I arrived last Monday, and when I left the other day, Tuesday evening, even with that span of that small span of a day, the number really, I think, grew almost twice as large. Mm-hmm. They were really there lining up, and they were all wanting to get a chance to get out of Tacloban.
When you left the airport, first of all, we should just say that you were able to get your grandmother out of there. She's 99 years old. Which is she's with relatives, I guess, in Manila now.
Now in Manila, she's at my place here, my family's place here in Manila.
What was her status? I mean, was her home destroyed, damaged?
Yeah. The house she was renting for the longest time was also completely washed out. So it was also, she was there with a long time help, and it was our house help's son-in-law was able to carry her as the waters surged up, and she just piggybacked on him for an hour or two as the water rose. And the good thing that the neighbor had a second floor, so they were able to get to the neighbor's place, but were not able to enter. At least she hung on to our help's son-in-law, and hanging on there for an hour or two until they were able to push her to the second floor itself, and then just waited for the water to subside.
That sounds incredibly harrowing. Was that the difference for a lot of people between life and death, being able to have a second floor or reach a second floor?
Yes, Kevin. Stories I heard there, especially with friends that I got to meet. You know, Kevin, Tacloban and Leyte is a typhoon belt area. I myself, when I was there, we grew up practically with typhoon, and it was, you know, it was kind of ordinary for us. What we didn't expect, what at least this time around, what they couldn't tell was that the storm surge were going to be that bad. And they were really feeling so bad because they said, had the notice been more alarmist?
More dramatic from the government, you mean?
Yeah, to just say, just get out, this is strong. But I think, Kevin, nobody actually expected this. Because even the local government, the evening before the typhoon struck, they actually had a semblance of readiness and preparedness of sorts. I mean, the stories that they were telling us, they even already evacuated those from those really critical areas near the sea. They already evacuated them to schools. And then
but they didn't think of evacuating a general evacuation, I guess.
No, they didn't do that. But at least for those in the critical, the normal, quote-unquote, typhoon flood zones, they took them out, put them in evacuation centers, even had them recorded the number and whatever. And then they already had actually goods prepared, stuck in their big trucks, hoping that after typhoon they could bring to the evacuation center. But when the typhoon hit, the trucks were washed away, the warehouse where the goods were stored were destroyed completely, and so sadly that even reached the one small school that was an evacuation center where a lot of kids died because they were unprepared that the waters would reach that far into the city.
Wow. So the evacuation center itself where people had taken refuge was washed away.
Yeah, and even the cathedral of the seat of the archdiocese of which Tacloban belongs, Palo is a town right outside Tacloban, which is also one of the more greatly affected by the typhoon. People rushed to the cathedral church for refuge, and the water surge just came in a lot. Quite a number was also perished in the cathedral itself. The entire roof was torn off, and water surged in. Debris it crumbled a bit, and so also quite a number of fatalities there.
So yeah, we're trying to make sense of this. I mean, there were reports that this was going to be a super typhoon, that it was going to be a historic typhoon, and then when you see the city and how close it is to the ocean. One is troubled. Like, why weren't more people evacuated to higher ground? And you're saying that the city government itself did not feel it was necessary to evacuate.
They actually evacuated those in the
closest to
critical
the water
area. Yeah, but actually, Kevin, that's even the very frustration of the people here. I mean, at least here in Tacloban, people were just saying it was a stronger typhoon than normal winds. They were all concerned about the wind. That was a funny thing. But of course, what else can you measure if not through the wind? But of course, an ordinary citizen, you talk of wind, you couldn't really capture the entire image. Because in Tacloban, we had a number of typhoons before. And wind-wise, it was so strong. But they were completely unprepared for the water that would get into that high. They were really saying these were not storm surges, this already mini tsunamis, this already mini tidal waves, because it went up high as 25 feet. Yeah, and Tacloban is situated on a bay. So yeah.
The water met from both sides. What are the conditions walking through the streets, what are the conditions you encounter? And what are the people doing to survive right now?
Yeah, that's another memory I'm still trying to process too, Kev, because walking through the streets, because I had no other mode of transportation. Looking for my grandma, you see still dead people lined up, and not really lined up, because lined up would give you a semblance of organization. No, they were just bodies still in the streets. And it was already Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's already 3 days after.
Is there anything standing? I mean, how are the people taking shelter? What are they doing? Are they likewise just wandering the streets?
Yeah, actually, Kevin, a lot of them are. And you would see that the entire city, because I'm not sure if how familiar you are with Philippines, and you'd realize most of our houses are made of wood, at least those from areas near the seashore or those really informal settlers. So they're made out of wood. So when the storm, when the waves came, they washed entire houses, woods from houses made right into the city itself. So the streets were unpassable because you see all this debris, and together with crumbled houses, you see, you know, you see the litter of dead people, and the stench was already becoming difficult to take.
The people that you met, in Tacloban, how are they holding up? What are they doing? Are they just completely exhausted and frustrated with the Filipino government?
Well, you know, one thing that's also, at least to take a little positivity out of this, Taclobanons, or from people from Tacloban, are a bit resilient. So they've been, they're not yet in the blaming stage. They're trying to find ways to find and conserve food and water. But you feel the frustration mounting because their supplies are dwindling.
And from what I've read, it's been very difficult to get supplies in. The airport is still completely non-functional. They're doing site landings as they can, which is kind of hard to do with the large transports that they really need to get in there.
Yes, I just talked to a friend who works with the social welfare in the national office, and she was saying that goods-wise, you already even have a backlog of the goods, even by land or by sea. Only by aircraft can you bring in slowly, but it's nothing compared to you're bringing by container vans of vessels and something that you can just land with C-130. But with the help of the U.S. government, when I left last Tuesday, United States Air Force personnel were able to put in some temporary lights on the runway, so that I heard that when we left last Tuesday, they were able to open the lights so that transport planes of the U.S. and the Philippines were able to shut to ferry as many people as possible to Cebu and Manila. They were saying that the cargo planes from Manila going to Tacloban brought goods and then take in the people going back to Manila, and then restock with supply, go back to Manila, to Tacloban with goods. They've been doing that since Tuesday evening.
Does anyone have an idea of how what the death toll is going to turn out to be here? We heard figures of as high as 10,000. I'm beginning to wonder if that is now going to be a modest figure.
Yes, I mean, I think that the 10,000 might be a little higher than 10,000, because we're not just looking at Tacloban, we're looking at more than three other towns that are really completely washed away.
Are people talking about rebuilding or just leaving, or what? Is it too early to even talk about those sort of things?
Yes, Kevin. Well, when we were there, it's still too early to talk. Of course, a lot of people would not want to leave. They would. I think we will rebuild. But we were telling each other that this is an opportunity for the government we have now, that when we rebuild it properly, rezone it. This is a chance. Aid is coming from all over the world. Money will not be a problem if it is used properly, which is always the same with everything. No? That only if we can transcend the personal greed that we already have, you know, and when to rebuild it is that to rebuild it properly and to rezone the city so as not to have something like this again, hopefully in the future. And this is an opportunity for the officials, at least for our leaders, to show that we can you can do this properly.
This was your childhood home. I mean, it must have been very hard to see it in this condition.
Oh, yes, Kevin. My sister even told me, because my sister was able to fly in and out last Monday through other means, same by plane, but by a different house. She got to take my aunt and uncle also from Tacloban. And she told me, my God, this is not the Tacloban we remember. As I said, I told her, this is no longer the Tacloban that we loved. Everything's gone. Our high school's gone. The church where I did my first Thanksgiving Mass 3 years ago after I got ordained, that church is, the only thing remaining there is the altar. Emotion is just so difficult to articulate exactly how to feel, and you know, to see people there hungry, and looting is already, the looting of the, well, you know, the looting of the stores, sometimes it's, you know, it's survival, but there are already some people entering private homes to get food from private, from each other now. And for me, that's already very, that's heartbreaking.
I presume as the days pass that the government will, or the military will be able to restore some order to the city. I mean, I guess the key thing now is to figure out how to get people out of there. Did you see a lot of children and families that were struggling?
Oh, yes. Actually, Kevin, my most difficult, I know that I have to process this in the next few days, but the most difficult for me, last Tuesday, getting out of Tacloban, was that as I was walking in the streets, no, I saw childhood friends, classmates since kindergarten, walking towards the airport, which is 8 kilometers from the city. They were walking with their children and their parents, who were already also old, and their other relatives walking in the rain. Because, and I asked my classmates, where are you going? And she says, anywhere but here.
Yeah.
And so, and I saw a number of them in the airport when we arrived with my grandma. And but the most difficult for me, Kevin, was that I was only able to get a slot for me and her, for my grandma. And I see all these friends of mine, and someone even approached me asking if I could take them with me, to say no, because the only slot I had was for my grandma and me, and no other certainty. At around 5:45 in the afternoon, when they told us to board, and they were asking us to rush, and I was, you know, running, pushing my grandma through the tarmac all the way to the military plane. And your last memory is when you look back and you see all those friends still in line, in the rain, and you don't know when they'll be able to get out. And you know that there's nothing you could do. And I just don't like that feeling.
No. Still. No. Well, I'm sure that this is one of many heartbreaking scenes that have been experienced by people in the last few days after the typhoon. Well, we've been speaking with Father IJ in Manila, and we're grateful that you're safe and your grandmother's safe. I have to say, your grandmother must be some kind of trooper at 99 years of age to be through that ordeal. And we thank you for your time, Father, and we'll keep you and the Philippines in our prayers.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
And I guess do you have anything you'd like to tell the American people about what they can do to help out? I know we have been encouraging people to make donations to Catholic Relief Services at www.crs.org. I don't know if there's anything else you'd like to ask of them.
Well, Kevin, of course, I'd like to ask for your continued prayers. And I think more than that is a heartfelt gratitude that you remember us still, and that gratitude for the many opportunities that you have tried to help us, and because any help we get now is really highly appreciated, and I'd like to say thank you in advance. We may not may come a time when, you know, too many things to do that we may forget to say thank you. So at least in advance, we'd like to say thank you. And that this is going to be a memory that we will keep of how, you know, oneness of the human spirit will, we will rise from the shovels, that, you know, we will rise again. And so we thank the American people for staying with us, for also walking with us through this darkness, so to speak.